This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Vidi podcast for Wednesday, January 23rd. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll look at the importance of Illinois' congressional races and how they could shift the balance of power in Washington. Illinois Public Radio's Ben Calhoun will have a story, and we'll have a look at the AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Illinois American Water is taking its message to its Champaign County customers about its new treatment plant and the rate hike to pay for it. AM 580's Tom Rogers reports.
The utility is in the midst of a $51 million project to build the plant just west of Champaign. Last fall, Illinois American filed with the state for a nearly 60% rate increase. The utility's local operations manager, Barry Suit, says about half of it will go toward the plant.
The other half is for cost increases for us in operation and maintenance that have occurred since our last filing a little over 5 years ago. It also includes some other capital investments we made in the system, water main replacements, new water meters.
Jim Chilson is with the Citizens Utility Board, the state-sponsored consumer advocate. He says CUB is busy poring over the rate hike request and will eventually file its own response asking for a lower increase or none at all.
We are very suspicious when a company comes, you know, before the Illinois Commerce Commission and says we absolutely need, you know, a 59% rate hike for Champaign customers. You know, that's why, you know, you have these 11-month processes.
The ICC is expected to issue its decision on the rate hike by September. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Illinois American hosted its first meeting last night to outline its plans and the need for a new plant. There will be another one tomorrow at the Round Barn Banquet Center in Champaign and next Tuesday at the Savoy Recreational Center. 70 years of harsh weather are taking their toll on the brickwork of the Champaign City Building. The City Council is moving forward with plans to spend about $1.8 million in repair work. Council members reportedly endorsed the plan in a study session last night. Structural engineer John Fraunhofer says it's not unusual for buildings of that age, particularly in wetter climates, to require extensive masonry work. He says the lintels, or L-shaped steel pieces around windows and doorways, are starting to corrode.
And as that generates some cracks in the brick and as the building becomes more permeable with time, then in the winter when we have 40-degree days and it rains and 20-degree nights and that water freezes, it does more damage. And so that probably puts us on the worse end of buildings of a similar stature.
Fraunhofer says the work will require the replacement of the lintels, the resealing of areas where water could intrude, and rehabilitation to the city's tower, which has never received any masonry work. The city council could opt to do the work at once or in installments, but it's expected to be completed next year. Any work will require the partial closure of a couple of streets and sidewalks around the building's perimeter. Indiana's Senate has approved some changes in parts of Governor Mitch Daniels' property tax relief plan. The modified plan includes the state absorbing all local costs for school operating expenses and child welfare services. The House was meeting last night to consider dozens of proposed changes to the governor's tax package. One amendment approved would freeze property taxes for certain senior citizen homeowners. One would double the renter's income tax deduction from $2,500 to $5,000. Another would remove major school building projects related to learning from having to be approved in public referendums. House Democrats want to finish the amendments early today and then approve a modified overall tax bill this week and send it to the Senate. A massive crowd of mourners is expected to gather in a Chicago Southside church to remember former Cook County Board President John Stroger, Jr. The 78-year-old died last week from complications of a stroke he suffered nearly 2 years ago. Stroger was the county's first Black Board president. It's a post now held by his son, Todd. The elder Stroger is being remembered for his lengthy and powerful political career that spanned more than 3 decades. Today's funeral will be held at St. Felicitas Church and is expected to be attended by dozens of Chicago area political luminaries. An uncommon practice in most state legislators that is widely used in Illinois' capital is coming back to haunt former State Senator Barack Obama in his presidential bid. Amanda Vinicky explains.
University of Illinois at Springfield professor Kent Redfield says it looks strange to outsiders, but the political expert says in Illinois, it's a matter of routine for lawmakers to cast present votes, as Obama did when he served in the state Senate. It's become a campaign issue, as Obama's opponents for the Democratic nomination say those votes show Obama doesn't take a tough stand of voting a straight yes or no when the pressure is on. Redfield says voting present can be a way to punt an issue, but he says it's not that simple in Illinois.
You really have to get to specific votes rather than generalize, or you have to go on, you know, does somebody have a reputation for not taking on tough bills or not making tough votes? And I think Obama's reputation was probably the opposite.
Redfield also says Obama's use of the present vote in the aggregate was average to below average. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement has postponed the deportation of a widowed illegal immigrant from France who cared for her paralyzed husband for 14 years on the South Side. Karina Tursinovich was on her way to the airport last night when she got the news that she'd be allowed to stay. She told the Associated Press that she's in heaven. Representative Dan Lipinski introduced a bill last week that could grant Tursinovich permanent resident status. Gail Montenegro is a spokeswoman for ICE. She says the 43-year-old's deportation was stayed to give Congress more time to consider the bill. Tursinovich has been released from customs custody, but has to check in with the department's Chicago office every day by phone. When it comes to cell phones being a distraction on roadways, most people think of drivers, but a Democratic state lawmaker wants to target distracted pedestrians. Ken Duncan, a Chicago House Democrat, says the idea might not win over people used to the freedoms of mobile phones.
People can be like throwing their cell phones at me when they see me, but I just don't want to be in a situation where I'm hurting someone or just killing someone because they're not paying attention.
He says while the problem is mostly in larger cities, his plan would be statewide. The penalty for using a cell phone while crossing a street would be up to $25. Lawmakers could look at the legislation next month. At least one other state, New York, is considering a similar measure. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. The presidential primaries are getting a lot of media attention these days, but there's another critical election fight here in Illinois. It concerns congressional races that have gotten the attention of both Republicans and Democrats and have the potential to shift the balance of power in Washington. Ben Calhoun reports from Chicago.
Last Thursday night, the Northfield Township Democrats packed into a banquet room at Hackney's Restaurant in the northwest suburbs. They watched as business consultant Dan Seal stepped behind a podium.
First place I want to start is with thank you.
Seals is in the middle of his second campaign to challenge 10th District Republican Congressman Mark Kirk, and he's considered the favorite in the upcoming Democratic primary.
My family actually just got back to town, and my daughter said when she got back, she said, did you win the big trophy yet? I said, well, it's not exactly how it works.
In the media, congressional races like Seals have been largely overshadowed by the presidential primaries. But Illinois' 10th district is one of half a dozen House races in Illinois that national Republicans and Democrats are watching closely. The districts getting attention are generally suburban ones around Chicago. They're districts that have been historically Republican, but like the 10th, they've trended more Democratic in recent years.
The people who are moving to the suburbs are very different from the ones who are moving 30 or 40 years ago. They're coming for different reasons, you know, the schools, the space, but they're also bringing their politics with them.
But that trend isn't the only reason both parties think several of these districts could go either way this year. Several Illinois Republican congressmen are retiring. Denny Hastert, Jerry Weller, Ray LaHood. Retirements leave open seats, and as a rule, open seats are more competitive. On top of that, polls have shown a national tilt towards the Democrats this year, adding to the sense that red districts could turn blue. Bottom line is that Illinois is now a coveted prize when it comes to House races. From the 11th district south of the city, up to the 6th and the 14th in the western suburbs, and the 10th district to the north.
Chicago's outer suburban ring is now a key battleground in the entire race for the House.
David Wasserman follows House races for the Cook Political Report in Washington. Wasserman accurately predicted that Democrats would pick up 29 seats in the House in November of 2006, sort of a political junkie's hole-in-one.
Managed to hit it on the head.
Wasserman says Illinois' concentration of Republican districts tilting Democratic has put the state smack in the middle of the national struggle for Congress.
I think Republicans, by and large, understand their position right now. Basically, they cannot afford to lose so many seats in the House that they don't have a shot at recapturing Congress in 2010.
Wasserman says even if the presidential primaries are overshadowing Illinois' key House races, voters should expect to see them heat up following the primary and be hot and heavy come fall. In fact, he expects the fall fight over the state's competitive seats to be so tough that he wouldn't be surprised if as much as $40 million is spent on the races.
I wouldn't want to be a Chicago voter because just the level of noise in the Chicago media market, the level of TV ads is really going to create some voter fatigue by Election Day 2008.
National officials with both parties say Illinois is in their top five list for congressional battleground states.
Wow. How are you? Congratulations. Hey, thank you for letting me come out with you today.
Steve Greenberg's a Northwest suburban businessman and a former professional hockey player. Last Friday night, he was at an ice rink in Hoffman Estates, joking with a group of young girls who'd shown up to skate with him. Greenberg's one of three Republican candidates hoping to challenge 8th District incumbent Democratic Congresswoman Melissa Bean.
I want to get a job. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to get a job. Can you help me out?
Yes.
Oh, good, good.
In 2004, Melissa Bean became one of the first Democrats to capitalize on the changing politics of Chicago's suburbs. This year, the Republican Party recruited Greenberg to run against her in the 8th. He's convinced it's still a swing district.
It is a Bush district twice. And I believe they're just waiting for somebody to step up who can articulate the principles that they wanted to be brought to Washington.
Since Democrat Melissa Bean first ran in the 8th, the district has gotten the attention of both national parties. And ever since then, it's produced highly competitive and expensive elections, a good indicator that the same thing could happen in other similar suburban districts, meaning Illinois won't just be a key state for House races this cycle, but for election years to come. I'm Ben Calhoun.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, sunny skies this morning and increasing clouds during the afternoon, the high 28. Tonight, cloudy, some light snow and flurries during the evening hours, accumulation up to an inch, then clearing, windy and colder after midnight. We'll have a low near zero. Winds from the northwest up to 25 miles per hour with some higher gusts. And tomorrow, sunny, breezy and cold, the high 15 with some wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Clear skies tomorrow night with a low of 3. Increasing clouds Friday, the high 28, warming up a bit this weekend. We'll have cloudy skies Friday night with light snow, the low 23. Saturday, mostly cloudy with a chance of a few flurries, the high 35. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 23rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.